You're listening to CKMS 102.7 FM in Wallo, Ontario, RadioWallo.ca on the web. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative grant program, and it's funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. You can access the recordings of this show on RadioWallo.ca/news or on the National Local Journalism Initiative website. I'm your host, Ivan Angelovsky. Hip-hop was a part of the Tri-City area music scene since the 90s. In the club called The Twist, for example, on Marshland Drive, people could hear Public Enemy, Ice-T and Vanilla Ice along with all the local hip-hop artists. The Twist and all other places, along with all the stories of all the artists over the last three decades, are now placed on a map at tricityhiphop.com. Today I'm talking with Sam Nabby, the person who's most responsible for setting up the map.
I'm a hip-hop artist, I'm a poet, I'm a songwriter. When I moved here to KW, I did that in 2008, and I got connected with some people in the music scene more broadly. So rather than playing songs in my bedroom, I was actually out there in the world at bars, at restaurants, at festivals, meeting people and getting to know the scene.
One of the featured people on the map is Tate Garrett, hip-hop artist and producer.
I got into hip-hop when I was really young. I started rapping just like at lunchtime with friends, just little freestyle battles in middle school. Chat lines were like a thing back then. MSN Messenger was starting to be a thing. ICQ was hot. I used to enter like rap battle chats and then started writing to instrumentals and things like that. Formed various crews in middle school and high school. I did assemblies, different shows in the city. When I came up and my crew and people in my era, there were a lot of older cats that were already kind of doing it, that were already putting on shows. So it was still like something that I could see, like, oh, people in the city were actually doing something. You could actually do it out here, make some impact. So that was really cool to see it in our own hometown. There's so many connections throughout the years that I'm still connecting to this day, but just through mutual people that I've met over the years. Some people leave the city, some people stay, some people go and come back. But I find that there's a lot of deep-rooted history here.
It's always been interesting for me, as so KW is my adopted home, recognizing all the people that have kind of helped me connect and introduced me to other artists, just get to know the scene here. So because I didn't grow up here as a kid, coming to KW was kind of like a discovery for me. And I wanted to keep discovering more and more music that people had created in this place where, you know, everyone I'm talking to about music has a story and wants me to meet one other person, and that person wants me to meet one other person. I was really, you know, inspired by artists growing up. I was inspired by The Roots. I was inspired by Kanan. I was inspired by Shad. I really like lyricism a lot. And knowing artists like Shad and Kanan are Canadian examples where they would drop little references in their lyrics to being from Canada or being from a certain neighborhood of Toronto. Hearing that, again, just kind of gave me the permission to understand that, you know, hip hop doesn't have to be just something that happens in New York City. It's something that is about the place where you're from and the place where you're in. It was really cool to get a perspective from people who have grown up here and who have been making music here for a long time, what their relationship with it was. That kind of energy transformed itself into the Tri-City Hip Hop Project. As far as I can recall, the first hip hop album produced in this region was made in 1997, and that was a recorded album. So there were people performing, there were people definitely going to clubs and dancing, there were people making cassette tapes ripped off of the radio, there were people doing all of that all around the world, including here in the Tri-Cities. Definitely some of the earlier artists would include Prologic, Sharky probably came a little later, DJ Frantic Fingers and DJ Quanta, they were in a group called The Regiment.
What are their topics? What are their messages? How did those messages change from the 90s till now?
It's interesting. In some ways, the messages are very similar. There's an artist, he was part of the Regiment. Now he goes by the name Justin Hamilton. In the 90s, he was Lil J. And there's a song of his on a compilation album that talks about going to the club and trying to have a good time. And there's a police there trying to stop you from having a good time. The conflict between young Black people in particular being racially targeted by police. And then in 2020, there's also a local artist, Tyson Major, who made a song related to all the Black Lives Matter protests going on around the world. But it also used footage from the Black Lives Matter protest that we had here in Waterloo region. That song was called Make the World Great for Once. It's a play on words of Make America Great Again. So, I don't know, hip hop has always been a genre that speaks truth to power, right? So there's artists that have been doing that straight through the whole time.
I'm Ivan Angelovsky, and this is Radio Waterloo at 102.7 FM. I'm talking with Sam Nabi and Tate Garrett about the hip-hop scene in Tri-City area and how it changed from the 90s to now.
I think some people just, like, got older and grew out of it, you know? When it comes to what we do, I think it's all entertainment at the end of the day, and some of this type of entertainment, you know, some people just grow out of it, you know, like what it depends on the music that you make, I would say, to determine who your audience is. But when you're looking at, I would say, the masses, when you want to do, you know, hit radio, you know, big numbers on TikTok or, you know, general media, I think the demographic is generally a younger demographic for sure. So I think as an artist, you gotta look at that. Are you gonna grow with your audience as you grow, or are you gonna keep on, you know, trying to hit the youth, right?
It's not like everybody knows everybody. There are definitely pockets of people that work together that might not realize there are other artists doing hip hop in another part of the region at the same time, or maybe even at slightly different times. So one of the cool things about this project is trying to connect people, not just across time, but also people can realize, oh, while SJ was active in the mid-2000s in Kitchener, orbiting around this record studio or recording studio called Third Degree, you know, there was another group of people in Cambridge making music. And I'm thinking of maybe the Marmel Entertainment guys. They were making music in Cambridge in the mid-2000s as well. You know, they might have crossed paths, they might have not, but it's cool to see them both represented on the map. There's a lot of places that we've lost for sure. So, and even now, since the project started, even during COVID, there's been more venues that for good. So the biggest profile one recently is probably Starlight. They're important for not just hip-hop but lots of local music. And one of the things that was most significant in local hip-hop is the album release concert for the Get By was a local band. They also had a lot of influence and following in Toronto, and their concert in Starlight in Waterloo is one of the events that people still talk about to this day as having a really outsized impact. And now if you go to the Starlight, it's still there physically, but it's shut its doors. It's going to be under new ownership soon, maybe with a new name. I'm not sure what's going on, but COVID has really taken a toll on live performance venues. But even like studios, like, you know, Third Degree.
Yeah, isn't there. You know, what's crazy is, since they closed, every year I used to go back and knock on that door and see if anybody would answer, just to give me a tour to see what they did with it. Nobody ever answered, you know, year after year. I just gave up, especially when I had my own studio. But to go back there now, which is now like Smile Tiger and a couple other businesses in the back, I was looking at renting that place. I wanted to rent it before I had this space. And I'm like, man, it wouldn't have worked out, but it was just really cool to just always just be curious about what goes on there. It's a really cool spot. Like, somebody could open up a studio there, I'd imagine. It would work.
But then there's other venues, like if you look at some of the places in downtown Kitchener, a lot of them are locations that were important to local hip hop that are just no longer here due to either gentrification or just the fact that that business moved or that the neighborhood had changed. There's a place called Diverse Barbershop. They used to be on Frederick Street. They're still around, they still exist. They're now on King Street, now down closer to the highway. But Diverse Barbershop, that was one of the places where local hip hop culture was disseminated in the region. DJ Frantic Fingers, one of the DJs I talked to, he was producing a little zine about hip hop culture. This was back in the 90s or early 2000s. And so, you know, here's a DJ, he was making a magazine about music, trivia, what's going on in hip hop. And the barbershop was where that would be distributed. Dr. Disc used to be a record shop downtown that was very influential. There's a DJ called Dub J. He's still very active and he's had probably the most mainstream success out of anyone to come out of our region. He's worked with nationally famous and internationally famous artists. So Dub J worked at Dr. Disc in downtown Kitchener, and he would get the album releases before they were, you know, on sale to the public, because the store would get the CDs a little bit early so that they could have them on the shelf. And he would be able to listen to those and make DJ mixes and kind of get ahead of the curve so that he was really one of the tastemakers in the region. There's also the stories that people are telling from their own perspectives. So I've listened to lots of interesting stories from people about how hip hop has related to their childhood or how hip hop continues to, you know, influence KW's culture today. There's definitely a few neighborhoods that are have a lot more concentration of artists. I'm thinking of Centerville in Kitchener, Chandler Drive, and even somewhere like Kings Court Drive in Waterloo. You know, Kings Court is near Conestoga Mall. So the area around Conestoga Mall, if you're not aware of the music history and if you're not aware of those artists, you might not realize. But then once you read a story like Rufus's story about Kings Court, you get into his head and understand that when he moved there, you know, his family was the only Black family in the neighborhood. But then as generations kept moving in, the area became more diverse. And by the time he was in high school, there was actually a group of kids that were really working hard to make a very good and very successful hip hop crew. And they were dancers and singers. So that it's a really great story to hear. But then also when you're in that neighborhood and when you go back into those areas, I hope you can kind of appreciate it in a different way.
In my area, it's pretty much the same. I'm not familiar with some of the other areas. Some are a little the same. Some are a little bit more gentrified. Some are a little bit more, I don't know, even like locked down, like there's a little bit more maybe like police presence or a little bit more like cameras and things like that. It's just a newer, younger generation. And that goes for, I think, anywhere in the city where it's just going to go where the young people are.
I think one of the cool things on the map is there's a pinpoint for Centerville. And Centerville in Kitchener, it's a neighborhood in Kitchener near Fairview Mall. So there's on that map marker, there's a video from ProLogic, where he's reminiscing about his childhood. He has a song called Kinsey and Thaler, because that's where he grew up. And it's just about running around the neighborhood as a kid, getting into trouble and listening to hip hop and making hip hop. But then also on that same map marker, there's a very new video that was created in, I don't know, 2020. Yeah, it was during lockdown. So there's a brand new video made by young artists, Natra, Hood Nine, Cassius, and they're using the same, you know, they're in the same neighborhood making a music video there too. So the neighborhood has been supporting hip hop back in the 90s, and it's still a place where hip hop thrives. Hip hop and sense of place is very important, like I mentioned. So, you know, doesn't matter what era of hip hop, I think that's a universal thing that people are always wanting to represent where they're from. And so if someone says that, yeah, they're making music and they mention a neighborhood in Kitchener, if you're from here, you'll understand the reference. But if you're not from here, you'll still think it's a good song. But there's another layer to it that is the place.
This is CKMS Newsroom, and I'm Ivan Angelovski. I'm talking with Sam Nabby and Tate Garrett about the Tri-City hip-hop map and all the places that made the hip-hop scene around here. One of the places is Radio Waterloo.
The current location of Radio Waterloo is on the map is the Bright Up Street. But then before that, Radio Waterloo was on University of Waterloo campus. Throughout the whole time, there's been a DJ called DJ Carmelo who's run a Thursday night hip-hop show. And he's been doing it for 15 years, maybe 16 years now. He has really been an important curator. And he on his show, he does a fresh five every week, which is five local tracks.
Can you guess what's going to happen after COVID? And is anything going to survive?
I've noticed a lot of businesses and entrepreneurs and just artists and creatives just pivot. And I think like we've definitely proven our resilience over the past year. We've got a lot of support out here for local businesses. I don't know if things are going to go back to what it used to be, but I think people really want to go back to seeing live music. I think we're going to figure out a way to come back to live music, especially as we get closer to the summer. Hopefully the numbers start to look better in our favor. I think that's going to be alive and well for sure. Live shows is going to be a thing that people are going to want to go back and see. I think things are going to continue to move toward online more so now than ever, though, on the flip side of it, just because that's kind of the way that we were going already. And this kind of sped up the process for a lot of people. I know for sure it has for me. Things that I was already thinking about, it kind of prompted me to do urgently. And I think a lot of businesses have had to make certain pivots. And, you know, I'm lucky to still be here. And I'm lucky to see my peers still surviving as well.
There's already been a lot of businesses that have been forced to shut their doors due to COVID, venues in particular. But, you know, there is going to be still a local hip hop scene when this is done. It just because COVID is making it hard to gather. I don't think that's going to change people's desire to represent their neighborhood, represent their city, and connect locally. Like there has been for the last even, you know, 10 years, maybe even longer, like definitely people collaborate online. You know, local artists like Ramsey are collaborating with the producers in Europe, or I think Young Lungs is collaborating with people from Miami. That kind of collaboration will still happen, but people also want a connection to sense of place and where they are and where they're from. And like, even though someone is, you know, making music with other people from all around the world, that there's still people from their hometown that want to support them and identify.
I think we have this really interesting dynamic in Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge, where we've got so much homegrown talent that's from this city or come to this city and stuck around and got involved in the scene out here. But then you also have a few colleges and universities around that are changing every few years, and they're coming from all over the world and are getting involved with the scene that's going on out here as well. And then they're spreading it to the people that they know. And we've got such a diverse city out here. Looking on my hard drive, how many artists that I've worked with over the past, say, 4 or 5 years, just in this city alone, I'd say there's at least 200 hip hop artists out here, all within the ages of 15 to 30. It's interesting because now when everything's out there online, the floodgates are open, you have access to anything and everything. There's a wide array of genres that the hip hop artists are doing now, especially with the cross genre kind of stuff. I've done country hip hop. I've done like some goth hip hop. I've done the trap. The drill stuff is really popular. the subject matter is all really a wide range, the same way that it is with the production style. It goes along with, you know, the cadence and the flows, and then the subject matter on top of it. So maybe a trap song might have a little bit more trap dialogue in it, as you would say, right? So I think a lot of that goes to what people are listening to, their influences, not only musically, but just environmentally as well, you know, and then what they see on TV and social media and things like that. But anything from boom bap hip hop, right? Like, and then even just like Southern style, when it comes to clean music, dirty music, you know, club, some vulgar stuff, you know, curse words, and then clean stuff, some positive stuff, uplifting stuff. I record it all, I've experienced it all, I've produced it all, and it's all here and it's all real.
This is Radio Warlow, and you've been listening to interviews with Sam Nabi and Tate Garrett about TriCityHipHop.com, an interactive map of places and stories that made the Tri-City hip-hop scene. Check out the archived versions of this program and other episodes on radiowarlow.ca/news. You can follow us on Twitter at Radio Warlow, and you can email news@radiowarlow.ca to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover. The music was Black Room by Moby, thanks to MobyGratis.com. My name is Ivan Angelovski, and I was your host for this program.